D-Mace Vingen and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Willie Donick, Adam Vingen, pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, by our favorite dual threat quarterback. He's an ESPN NFL analyst. He's also the head coach of the Ensworth Tigers football team. It's Tim Hasselbeck. Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well, thank you. So I imagine that you have spent a lot of time discussing the top 10 quarterback list that Jeremy Fowler compiled earlier this week with help from league people at ESPN.com. What was the most surprising element of that list to you when you read it for the first time?
That Jaden Daniels was at like four.
He was at like, five, yeah.
At five, yeah, yeah. He was so high. Like, I mean, you know, in front of guys like Matthew Stafford, Jalen Hurts, who just won a Super Bowl. I mean, I think that... Yeah, like that for me, I would say, a bit of an aggressive move. So, I think that one surprised me. I don't know if I had any other ones. You know, like Hurts to me being at nine, right? Do I have it right that he's at nine?
Yes, I was just about to ask you about him. So, yes, he's at nine.
Yeah, I mean, guy's been at two Super Bowls. And I think there are elements to say, look, if you were to move him and you were to put Hurts in Detroit and Jared Goff in Philadelphia, like what would the end result be? Like, so I get it that, there are probably some things that you're splitting hairs and you don't know, and that's projections. But like it feels to me like some disrespect.
I was going to ask you about Jalen Hurts because he landed at nine on this list. The highest ranking he received was six. The lowest ranking he received was unranked. So somebody who did this exercise for Jeremy Fowler did not have Jalen Hurts ranked on this list. And as you said, he's a Super Bowl winner who plays big in big moments. As it's written here at ESPN, he's the most potent short yardage quarterback rusher in NFL history. Yeah. He's also one of the game's most accurate passers. And yet, as you said, there seems to be a lot of disrespect. There's a passage at the end of this that I would love your opinion on. Fowler wrote, quote, "More than a few voters see shades of a Russell Wilson career arc. Hurts has many traits that contribute to winning at a high level, but needs a steady running game around him and wouldn't necessarily thrive in a pass-heavy system." So what's it going to take for Jalen Hurts to get more respect?
Well, by the way, like a Russell Wilson career arc, like Russell Wilson for a period of time, like was playing like an MVP candidate. Like, you know, I don't know what'll happen when it's all said and done as these passing numbers, you know, go crazy and stuff. But like does Russell Wilson, I'm not saying Russell Wilson's a Hall of Famer, but like he's going to be up for consideration at some point. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's, That seems weird to me to be like, hey, like that wouldn't be good. There was definitely a period of time where Russell Wilson was a top five quarterback, like 100%. So like that's a weird comment to me. The idea that he's unranked, and look, Jeremy, you know, is well connected, knows a lot of people and all that stuff. I mean, that's crazy to me. Like I would love to know what organization that person works, you know, for, and if they're any good. Like it doesn't make sense. We were talking about on NFL Live yesterday, and one of the things I said was, you know, as we evaluate quarterbacks, like I think we would all agree is leadership is maybe one of the most important qualities for a quarterback. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. Like, are there a bunch of guys leading better than Jalen Hurts is leading? Like I compared him to Eli Manning. I used to say, like, with Eli, he was so steady, he was so consistent, and his leadership was really unquestioned because, like, you never knew if his dog died or he won the lottery. Like, that's kind of how he was every day. And I think Jalen Hurts the same way. Like, you look at the way Jalen Hurts leads, he's unfazed. He's not flustered by things. And so, like, the idea that I don't know. That Kyler Murray is probably ranked by everybody with his leadership style, and Jalen Hurts is not ranked by everyone. That's wild to me.
Tim, I want to ask you about Juwan Jennings. There was a report earlier this week that the San Francisco 49ers wide receiver, also a former member of the Tennessee Volunteers, wants a new contract or a trade. And of course, a lot of Vols fans in our area, our text line was blowing up with people clamoring for the Tennessee Titans to make a run at Juwan Jennings. But Willie and I were curious about how Jennings would perform outside of San Francisco, outside of the Kyle Shanahan system, scheme, whatever you want to call it. So assuming that Jennings is indeed wanting to be moved, do you think that if he were to leave San Francisco, he would be how good of a wide receiver do you think he could be outside of San Francisco is the question I'm asking.
I don't know that I wouldn't say that he's a number one wide receiver, but I think that he's a starting wide receiver. I think, you know, the size, the physicality, the ability to make contested catches, you know, a willing and capable blocker, like all of those things. I think that he's I don't think the system is making the player with him, you know. Now, you look at what's going on with receiver money, like every, you know, like maybe there are a bunch of number two wide receivers out there that are, they're going to be looking for, you know, number one wide receiver money. And like that, I think is just not, you know, that, there are some guys that can find themselves in some tough spots if they're trying to accomplish that.
Tim Hasselbeck
fit that mold.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. And Tim, that brings you to sort of the dilemma that the Titans are in, because your options, if you were to go down this path, because it's easy for especially somebody here in this market who watched Juwan Jennings play in Knoxville, maybe watched him in high school right around the corner. Like, hey, bring him here. You need wide receivers. And that looks to be true, right? He's better than a lot of the guys they have on the roster for sure. But are you going to give up an asset? And if so, how much would you be willing to part with? And then are you just taking him for 1 year? Or are you going to commit to, as you kind of just alluded to, the next contract in a wide receiver market that you got to pay pretty handsomely for?
Yeah, I mean, and that's why, like, are you going and chasing Juwan Jennings? And what kind of leverage does he have to really say, like, hey, no, I'm not playing without a new contract? You know, like when Terry McLaurin says, I'm not playing without a new contract, you know, then at that point, what you can say is, you know, look, we're trying to accomplish big things here, and we can't because, you know, our number one wide receiver is holding out. And so, like, when that happens, you know, I think you have to say, like, all right, well, maybe we've got to make a concession here to get this deal done. Like, I don't think you need to do that when you're talking about, like, that next tier of wide receiver. I think you say, like, you're not going to hold out because that's going to be way too expensive for you, and quite honestly, just it won't make sense.
I'm curious, as we look at some of the storylines we're going to see in training camp, I'm curious about the Lions and their attempt to bounce back after just an amazing regular season and then the bad playoff game. The Titans fans can relate, right? You have this great season, you set yourself up, and then you don't play well in the big game. So what do you, when you look at that young roster that still looks like it's in a window where you can win, what do you expect from them?
Say the team again?
The Lions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, the change at coordinator, I think, is the big issue there. You know, you look at teams that have changed both coordinators. Obviously, Philly did a good job of it last year. They were terrible at it, you know, the previous time they did it. Look, Dallas did it a few years ago. They were awful with it. It's a lot. Coaching matters. So, look, I think that, you know, Dan Campbell's going to kind of show his – you know, head coaching ability in terms of how he helps manage that entire situation. And look, I think they have good players, but, like, you know, they didn't just lose coordinators. They also lost, you know, guys that were also on the coaching staff. So I think that change is hard. I think the division is difficult. And I think because of that, I do think we'll see a bit of a step back out of Detroit.
Hmm. What about what you see with Mike Vrabel and the Patriots? I'm sure the sideshow here, like if there's a team outside of the Titans, people will be watching closely in this market. I think you could argue that the Patriots will be pretty high on the list. Maybe the other division teams, et cetera. But there's a lot of curiosity on Mike Vrabel in his second coaching stint.
Yeah, I think it's a massive upgrade at the coaching position in New England. And then I think beyond that, what you're getting is Josh McDaniels to coach the offense. And I think there's better talent than there was there a year ago. So I think when you add all of those things together, what were they, a three-win team? You know, now you got what was a three-win team that could easily, you know, may be a hard out for everybody that they play. So look, sometimes everyone jumps on a team too early. That may be New England, but I do think the 2-3 year forecast on New England is really good.
You've done a lot of ACC games over the years, so you have a perspective that's unique in this market where we're so tied into SEC day in and day out, week in and week out. As you try to sort out what the next playoff is going to look like, if you're representing the ACC, what do you want to see in there with the leverage that they have or don't have?
Well, I mean, I think what you'd want to see is, you know, obviously you'd be guaranteed that you're going to have one of your teams in it, right? I mean, I think that you got to start there. You know, the idea that there would even be a chance to have more than, you know, one team in it, you know, you would like to say that. But, like, truthfully, like, I mean, you look at what happened to Florida State. You know, obviously there were some injuries and stuff like that. Like, yeah, look, I think top to bottom, the conference in general has just got to get better football. Like, when you have, you know, schools like Clemson and Florida State, like, not really being shy about the idea that, like, look, we want out, like, this TV deal is not the deal we want, then, like, you know, I don't, like, to me, when that starts happening, when, like, the best teams in your conference are saying that, then, you know, I think it's hard to, for you to even, you know, create a case, for anything, you know, anything more than you're kind of naturally getting, you know, from the committee as it stands now.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, head coach of the Ensworth Tigers, joining us here on D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick as he does every week. Tim, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Sounds good. See you, folks.
Tim Hasselbeck on the program. 615-737-1025. I do have a question for all you Titans fans out there, which I will ask you coming up next. But before we get there, go to thegamenashville.com/deals now. First, actually, let me go back because I forgot a line. Don't miss out on some of Nashville's best deals. Then go to thegamenashville.com/deals now, and you can purchase half off on gift cards for Mellow Mushroom, Red's Hot Chicken, Beach Bend Amusement Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park, Single Tree Barbecue, 312 Pizza, Bad Axe Throwing, Brewster's, Barrio Burrito Bar, and many more.